Hello.
Welcome back to another episode of Diagnosing a Killer. I'm Coel.
And I'm Kenna.
It's hot outside.
It's really fucking hot.
It is oppressive. That's how hot it is. It's 100 degrees.
Oh, it was like 106 earlier when I got in my car from after work. Ugh, it was gross.
That's disgusting.
It's just the beginning.
How about that earth, though?
Yeah, seriously.
Ugh, my gosh.
How is everyone doing?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
My throat is so dry from talking all day. I just got out of work, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Bear with me.
It's all right. We'll get through it together. Do you have anything before we get started?
I don't think so. You want to give everyone our handles?
Sure. You can follow us anywhere on social media at Diagnosing a Killer, with the exception of Twitter or X at Killer Diagnosis. We have an email that is diagnosingakiller@gmail.com. If you want to send us any case recommendations or just say hello. And we also have a Venmo, PayPal, and Cash App if you want to support us that way, as well as our Patreon. We do have 4 tiers on our Patreon now. So tier 1 will get ad-free mental breakdowns. Tiers 2, 3, and 4 will get ad-free every single episode. And tiers 3 and 4 only will get an additional bonus episode only for them every month towards the end of the month. And I think that one's coming out like the day after you hear this. So
yeah,
get ready. Patreons are getting 2 cases essentially back to back this week. So
that's exciting.
Yeah. So if you want to support us that way and join all those people, we have about 12 of those bonus episodes out and really good feedback on those. Mm-hmm. So if you guys want to join those people, it just takes a few minutes to sign up and it really makes a big difference in our show.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Cool. So today we're going to be talking about one Scarlett Jenkinson.
Okay.
She's from the UK.
Okay.
UK. UK. All right.
That sounded Australian.
All right.
Oh, shit.
R&R. Content warning. This episode discusses serial killer obsessions, dark magic, struggles with eating disorders, suicidal thoughts, self-harm, transphobia, and ultimately brutal murder. If this episode is not for you, we encourage you to check out another one of our episodes. Remember that your mental health comes first, and we love you.
Love you.
Bye. Scarlett Jenkinson was born in 2008.
Okay.
She was the youngest of 4 kiddos, and Scarlett grew up having 3 older brothers. Her mom was a school teacher, a home ec teacher, and her dad owned his own business in the building and plastering industry.
I'm trying to do math. She's like 16.
This is a very recent case.
Yeah.
The family lived in a modest, semi-detached home in Warrington, England, off a street called Glebland.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How's that sound? It might be Glebland, but it's G-L-E-B-E. Gleb.
Glebland.
Glebland. All seemed right with the family for the most of Scarlett's childhood. However, by the time Scarlett hit middle school age, she began showing signs of aggressive behavior and combativeness.
Hmm.
She would cause trouble in school and would often be involved in regular discord and fights among other students.
You said this is middle school when she starts showing these signs?
Middle school age, yeah. I don't know what it would be called over there.
Oh, it's not primary school.
It's not primary school. Secondary?
Secondary, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Let us know. By age 13, Scarlett began experimenting with marijuana and would start to dabble in witchcraft and black magic.
Oh, escalated quickly.
Yeah, right? I mean, for 13.
Yeah.
I remember how I was. I was like, ooh, dark stuff. So cool.
The darkness.
Ooh, the darkness.
Come to the dark side. We have cookies.
I shop at Hot Topic. I'm goth.
With that little happy bunny thing.
Yeah. She claimed that she once watched Sweeney Todd over 9,000 times in a row.
That's not possible.
Okay, Kristen Gilbert.
Yeah.
You would die.
That's not possible. There's no way.
I don't know if she meant she watched it maybe several times a day over the course of many weeks.
Yeah.
Not just like sat down with one of those like weird eyelid opener things and just watched Sweeney Todd.
Right, but like how would you, first of all, count that? And second of all, like, how long would that take? I want to know.
Like, okay with the exaggerations, Kristen Gilbert. Like,
yeah,
calm down.
Seriously.
She wore dark clothing and began obsessing over horror films. And it was around this time that Scarlett would befriend a boy by the name of Eddie Radcliffe at her school.
Radcliffe.
And the school that they were attending was Colchester High School. Eddie was sort of an outcast as well, and the two would quickly identify with each other on their interests and all things dark and spooky, the macabre.
Macabre.
Eddie was diagnosed at an early age to be on the autism spectrum, and although Eddie seemed to adjust in his elementary years, Eddie would oftentimes become selectively mute at home and in social situations.
That's a coping mechanism for something, for sure.
I think so, yeah. He just, yeah, selectively mute is what they said.
Like, just, I don't feel like talking to you right now, and I'm just not going to talk. You can't make me talk.
Scarlett seemed to be one of the only people who could coax Eddie out of his shell. Often the two would skip school and research some of their favorite serial killers. Scarlett would write in journals on her love for serial killers like Richard Ramirez, Ed Gein, and Jeffrey Dahmer.
Gross.
I know, but like, what do?
I know, but we...
We also research serial killers.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't like do it... I was gonna say for fun.
For funsies. We do it for funsies. Actually, we kind of do.
That is hard. I don't know.
She wrote fun facts about each killer as if she were writing a small dating bio for each.
That's weird.
For example, Richard Ramirez's bio included his name, nickname, which would be...
The Night Stalker.
Date of birth, date of death, his MO, or method of killing, where he operated during his killings, a brief history of Ramirez's life, and some of her favorite quotes of Ramirez's. Just like, oh, these are like killer quotes, bro.
And then like in the bet you didn't know section of the thing, it said, I have halitosis.
Did you get that? Oh, I sent you that article today about, yeah. what was his name?
The bad breath rapist.
The bad breath rapist was apparently caught today after 16 years on the run. What a title.
Fuck that guy. The bad breath. Yeah, good. I'm glad they called you that. I'm glad that they blasted your ass online for everyone. Yeah, right?
What an idiot. Just brush your teeth, bro.
Just don't rape people.
Then you won't be known for your bad breath.
Yeah.
By age 15, Scarlett was known about school to ask others to participate in blood rituals or small animal sacrifices.
Okay, we don't do that.
We don't do that. Although it is unclear whether or not she followed through on these supposed rituals. One thing is for sure, however, in late September 2022, Scarlett would bring edibles to school, convincing a girl of just 13 years of age to consume the edibles, under the guise that they were harmless sweets.
That's not funny.
It's not funny.
I would be so mad. Like, as soon as you eat it, she's like, yeah, that's weed. I would be so fucking pissed. Because I don't like drugs.
Well, then to... person. What? First of all, the amount of control you must need by doing this to someone. And then how out of control that girl must have felt.
Oh, yeah. That's terrifying.
The girl had consumed so much of these edibles that the girl would eventually have to be hospitalized.
Oh my god.
Once word got around that Scarlett was the one who provided the edibles to the young girl, Scarlett was kicked out of Colchester. Although initially the girl's parents were to press charges, they eventually dropped the charges once they knew that Scarlett was removed from the campus. Scarlett would then be enrolled in Birchwood High School. However, Scarlett's former school, Colchester, did not write a full report as to why Scarlett was let go from their campus. Huh. So Birchwood actually accepted Scarlett with open arms. They were like, yeah, sure, bring her over. Who cares?
Yeah.
She's harmless, right?
Clearly. Yeah.
Transferring to Birchwood allowed her to maintain an even darker version of herself. Scarlett would further represent herself as a witch who practiced dark magic and was a full-blown Satanist.
Oh.
Scarlett would download apps that gained her access to the dark web, often watching videos of people dying, being beheaded, torture, and suicides.
Oh my gosh, this is horrific. She's like 14?
She went hard into it.
I wonder where like that, I don't know, I wonder where it came from, you know?
Almost like morbid curiosity, but like...
That's too much.
It's a lot.
I have morbid curiosity, and I've accidentally stumbled upon videos like that, and it was horrific, and I cannot get it out of my mind.
She remained in constant contact with Eddie, reporting on her daily activities in her new school. The two had even begun plotting the death of several classmates that the two had targeted.
Oh, great.
Although this would definitely become a concern to any adult who may come across it, at this time it is not known that the threats were real or fantasy for Scarlett and Eddie. And although many classmates did report this to their parents and administration, nothing was investigated or done about it.
Perfect.
Great.
We love when that happens.
We love ignorance.
We love when people will say, oh, disorders. I just thought it was a prank. I thought they were joking.
Oh, kids will be kids.
You don't joke about shit like that.
Ugh. Scarlett and Eddie never seemed to be romantically involved, but they would often express that they did share a deep connection and that they considered themselves to be soulmates in a way. Scarlett actually had a boyfriend who was much older and would often employ manipulation tactics to get him to stay with her. She even carved his name on her arms once, on one occasion, claiming that this was proof of her dedication to him.
There's something seriously wrong with this chick. She needs to be evaluated. At this point, like, why hasn't she been evaluated?
Where the fuck are her parents?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, like, I'm not saying that every parent is responsible for disorders or anything like that, but there's, like, things happening here.
There's a lot of signs.
Like, especially after her poisoning another child, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that she couldn't be around kids her own age without a full evaluation.
Yeah, I agree. I would have immediately taken her.
Kids just don't do that. I'm sorry.
And this is, like, recent, too. Like, this isn't, like, the 30s where, yeah. You know, this is not the 1930s.
Yeah, it's not. This is, like, 2020 or 2022.
But again, like, I don't know. You never know the situation. She could have been really good at hiding it, and her parents just didn't know.
Yeah. Eddie himself also had an obsession with a girl known only as A. Eddie would constantly ask for advice on how to approach or flirt with A, to which Scarlett would lend suggestions. Constantly skipping school, it's a wonder that Scarlett had any time to socialize or connect with other students. And Scarlett would be reprimanded on more than a few occasions for her attendance as well. However, Scarlett did choose to enroll in a course generally offered to teens that need a little more of an unconventional learning environment, These being inclusive courses or classrooms. Inclusive courses or classrooms are defined by SonicView.com as, quote, classrooms designed so that students with special needs, disabilities, or impairments can learn among peers who may or may not have certain needs, in age-appropriate general education environments. While this is the most common use, inclusive classrooms are evolving to make sure that they are inclusive for different reasons as well, not just special education. For example, inclusive classrooms may involve students with certain needs, but it is also to be considerate of students with different social and economic backgrounds, those who speak minority languages, have different religions as well as sexual orientations. And making sure a classroom is truly inclusive is important for healthy and prosperous student development, end quote.
Dang, that's pretty descriptive.
It is. Given Scarlett's difficulties connecting with others and her overall lack of ability to function in a typical learning environment, this type of learning style may have appealed to her. However, there may have been more sinister reasons behind her attending these environments. It would be here that Scarlett would meet the person whose life she would change.
Ooh.
So it's not...
Change the course of her life
forever. Brianna Jai was the same age as Scarlett, and the two would meet in this inclusive environment. Brianna was born November 7th, 2006, and was assigned male at birth, also known as AMAB. From an early age, Brianna knew that she was different from other kids, and she was eventually diagnosed with ADHD and autism spectrum disorder. Brianna also began officially transitioning with gender-affirming care around age 13, and was living fully as female by age 14 in 2020. So this is during the COVID pandemic as well, which I'm sure helped her transition because you couldn't be in face-to-face learning, you know?
Yeah.
Brianna had found the transition back into person-to-person schooling to be a difficult one. Brianna had troubles with depression and struggled with an unspecified eating disorder, probably brought on by body dysmorphia. That is my opinion. That is kind of what I read. But I feel like that's a comorbidity, right?
It is.
If you have body dysmorphia, sometimes one of the symptoms, I suppose, is developing an eating disorder.
You're completely right. I did a assignment recently in one of my courses about eating disorders and body dysmorphic disorders, and they do go hand in hand a lot of the time.
It's interesting. It's sad, but it's interesting. Yeah. So Brianna had actually struggled with her ED so much that she had actually been hospitalized for it. In order to help cope, she did what most normal teens would do and turned to social media. Brianna would create TikToks documenting her struggles as a trans youth and would often feel supported by her commenters as well as her family, who also supported her 100% in her transition. Mm-hmm. Brianna also seemed to have gained a lot of confidence on the platform, and a type of confidence that she sometimes struggled to find within herself in the outside world.
Yeah.
But now back in a public school setting, the social anxiety would oftentimes become too much for her to bear. Brianna would sneak down to the cafeteria on most days, grab her food, and return to the inclusion building in order to eat her lunch alone. Slowly, by the fall of 2022, Brianna would come to find friendship in some of her classmates, but one of them in particular being Scarlett Jenkinson. Scarlett would quickly and almost forcibly become Brianna's friend. Brianna went along with this friendship as it was nice to be included, and Scarlett was also outcasted by others as well. But it was noticed by some classmates that the inclusion was more of an admiration from Scarlett, although not an overtly, like, flirtatious one.
And this is around the same time that Eddie is now interested in this A person.
Yeah, so like Scarlett and Eddie go to two separate schools.
Yeah.
Eddie likes A and Scarlett is befriending Brianna.
Right, I think Scarlett might, in my opinion, is probably like, well shit, Eddie found someone new like to hang out with. Like, I gotta find someone. Like, she's gonna like latch on to someone really quickly and, you know, be almost inappropriate as far as her like approach.
Well, Scarlett does have her boyfriend too. The guy that she was like writing. That, like, she wrote his name in her arm. They're still together.
Oh, for some reason I thought that was Eddie.
Earlier? Oh, no, no.
No, this
is a different boyfriend, yeah. Yeah, they were essentially, like, we aren't romantically involved with each other at all. But I think it was, like, it's kind of folly to do, I feel like. And so, yeah, Scarlett kind of has her boyfriend, her much older boyfriend that I think is, like, almost college age. And she's just, like, obsessed with him and has used manipulation tactics to kind of keep him around, whether that be the threat of harming herself or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Eddie likes A, and yeah. And we now know, unbeknownst to Brianna, that Scarlett is slowly becoming more and more obsessed with her. If not in a romantic sense, it was possibly obsession over her uniqueness and even possibly her transness. I think that mostly it's just Scarlett thinking that it adds to her to be friends with someone who's trans.
Yeah.
And to really, like, almost use Brianna to be like, this is how unique and different I am because I'm friends with Brianna, you know?
Yeah, that's gross.
Which is gross. Instead of just being friends with her because she's a nice person.
Yeah.
Scarlett would express her obsession to Eddie, and the two would exchange transphobic remarks about Brianna, and eventually, Scarlett and Eddie had added Brianna's name to their growing list.
Ew, that's gross, though. She's, like, befriending her, and then now she's talking shit, like, behind her back.
Yeah.
Like, gross.
Scarlett wrote in December 2022, quote, "I'm obsessed over someone I know, but I don't have feelings for them. She's called Brianna. I don't know how to explain. Also, she has a dick, LOL," end quote. Like, okay.
Like, shut the fuck up.
Eddie replies, quote, "Is it a femboy or a tranny?" end quote. It is so fucking cringy. I hate even saying that. That's awful. I'm gonna get out of here.
Bye.
Oh, God. I just leave. Scarlett would often compare herself to Brianna's looks, saying she felt gross or disgusting standing next to Brianna. Eddie agreed, saying that Brianna looked, quote, "prettier, but it is a boy," end quote.
Like, then don't fucking talk to her. Don't be fucking friends with her. Why are you so concerned about this?
I just want to punch these guys in the face.
fuck off. Don't worry about her then, if it's such a bother for you to be around her and, you know, next to her.
I don't understand why it's any of their fucking business.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Do you go around asking people what their genitals are like or anything? No, nobody does that. Nobody fucking does that.
Yeah, no, it's fucking gross.
It's fucking awful.
Loving a pet is easy. Losing a pet is hard. Perfect Memorials has been chosen by families since 2001 for their unique memorial products. Choosing a cremation urn or other product from Perfect Memorials allows many special ways to memorialize your loved one. Keep your furry friend in your memory forever with unique, handcrafted, and personalized products for everyone. Click the link in our show notes for an exclusive offer with Perfect Memorials today.
In January of 2023, Brianna's mother, Esther, came home after Brianna was supposed to be attending school. When Esther entered the family home, she could hear someone in the bathroom upstairs throwing up. It was Brianna. Unexpectedly, Brianna had become sick at school and was released due to an unidentified illness. Esther was suspicious of this, as when she went to go check on Brianna, there appeared to be something like grape skins in Brianna's vomit, which Esther recognized to be capsule parts of gel tablets. Brianna had dealt with depression and an eating disorder for some time and associated this incident with either Brianna's ED or possibly even an attempted overdose.
Yeah.
After talking with her daughter, Brianna insisted that neither of these were the case. Esther would believe her daughter, and the two would chalk it up to some unexplained illness. Although Esther was still a little uneasy about the entire situation, just given her daughter's
past. History and stuff. I was just going to say that. It's not out of the realm of possibilities that one of these two things could have been the culprit.
Yeah. It's got to be hard, like, especially when you believe your child with such conviction. Ugh. Unknown to either, Brianna's illness was the result of an attempted poisoning by Scarlett. Although it is unclear how a mass amount of ibuprofen was administered to Brianna without her knowledge.
Yeah, especially, like, the capsule.
Mm-hmm. Scarlett seemingly confessed to this in a text that she sent to Eddie saying, quote, "You know that girl I mentioned, Brianna? I'm still trying to kill her, and the easiest way is pill overdose," end quote.
Like, are you dumb? "I'm still trying to kill her," written down for the world to fucking see.
Today on I'm Trying to Kill Brianna.
Yeah, like,
ugh. The next day, Scarlett also texted Eddie, quote, "Brianna is still ill. Those tablets I gave her might slowly be killing her," end quote. So one can, I guess, imagine that Brianna probably didn't go to school the next day either.
Yeah.
Which is awful. Like, how can you do that to a person? Again, that's another one of her MOs, right? She's, like, poisoning fucking people.
Yeah. It's, like, her thing, her, like, control thing.
The conversations between Scarlett and Eddie intensify even further over the course of the next month and became more and more graphic. Scarlett would tell Eddie that she would have recurring dreams of her covered in a stabbing victim's blood and hearing their screams, describing herself as, quote, "smiling while holding a knife," end
quote. Okay. And this Eddie's just like, cool,
that's
tell
so
me
cool.
more. Not like 911 immediately or 999.
I found a weed.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that's a really graphic dream there, ain't it?
Oh, that's a really graphic dream there, ain't it?
And she's like, yep.
Are you from Manchester? Yeah, I think it's
Where is it from? Oh, have you ever seen The Kissing Booth?
No.
Oh my gosh. So, long story short, The Kissing Booth, I'm sure some of the listeners have seen it. The main character is like Joey King and another guy, I don't know who the main character is, but they're presenting their idea to like the student council mm-hmm. about having a kissing booth for like the state fair or the carnival or whatever. Mm-hmm. And one of the students is English and she starts talking and he goes, "You have an accent." It's like super quiet. He's like, moving on.
That's it? You have an accent.
You have an accent. The way he said it just reminded me, are you from Manchester?
Are you from Manchester? He said, I originally got that from Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Mm.
When Paul Rudd runs into Russell Brand for the first time and he's like, "You sound like you're from London."
Yeah, that's what it is.
But yeah.
Well,
but
all of our listeners in the UK just know that we love you. And Europe in general.
Yeah. Manchester. I love a bee. Where was I? Yes. So she's like, I'm having this recurring dream where I'm smiling, holding a knife, covered in blood.
And he's like, cool.
Yeah. He's like, how can I get dreams like that? Ugh. After several of these dreams, Scarlett purchased a large hunting knife from a local shop. Scarlett talks of stabbing Brianna to death in text exchange, saying she wants to gouge out her pretty eyes and take one as a trophy, and maybe even a couple of teeth.
What? This has to be, like, something she's witnessed on
she's
the
so
web.
Edgy. Yeah, that's true.
Like, there's no way that, like, you go from, like, oh, I'm gonna, like, slip you a roofie or whatever, and then, oh, I'm gonna gouge out your eyeballs and do all this. Like, there's no way she hasn't been, like, researching this.
It's just, it's graphic enough to where, like you said, she was clearly exposed to that, or it's just, what is the creepiest, grossest, most graphic thing I can say to get a reaction out of Eddie, right?
Yeah, like, what the most heinous thing I can think of.
And that's why I think it's Folie à Deux.
Yeah.
I really do.
And he's, like, he's just cool with it? Like, he's like, yeah, you should do that? Or he's oh, haha, like, he thinks she's joking.
No, he's, like, he's in on it. She begins to call Eddie around this time her Tesco John Wick, implying that he is her hitman.
Oh.
Because John Wick's like a hitman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Scarlett would ask Eddie to help her kill Brianna since, quote, I've been helping you with A, end quote. I'm giving you dating advice, therefore you must help me kill someone.
Yeah, that's quid pro quo, duh.
That checks.
Come on.
Not doing this pro bono here.
That checks.
Shit. Ugh. Eddie responds in kind, stating yes, and that, quote, really all I want to see is what dick size it had, end quote.
Oh my god.
I think this guy is obsessed with genitals.
Right, but, I think another motive for him is he's transphobic, and so mm-hmm. he's like, oh, fuck it, like, I'll help you kill this person because they're trans. Like,
right.
It'll be easier because they're trans whatever. Oh my god.
Eddie also stated, quote, I want to see if it will scream like a man or a girl, end quote. Like, he's the one that's obsessed
right.
with her transness.
I don't even know what to say. Like, that's so fucking gross.
I have a lack of words. On Saturday, February 11th, 2023, everybody knows when we pull out a date. Brianna was enjoying her day off in the early afternoon before texting her mother, Esther, that she would be going out for the day. When asking her daughter where she was planning on heading and with whom, Esther was surprised to learn that Brianna planned on taking a bus up to the Kolchath area, which is about a 15-minute bus ride, to meet up with Scarlett. Though Esther knew of Scarlett, the two had never hung out outside of school before, as long as Esther had known. Furthermore, Esther found it odd that Brianna, who was so socially reserved, would choose to ride a bus some 15 minutes away from the home.
Mm-hmm.
But Esther thought to herself, maybe this is Brianna coming out of her shell a little, and maybe if Scarlett was the one to help her get out of the house, that maybe this is a friendship worth making leaps for.
Mm-hmm.
Esther was able to watch her daughter leave the home in the afternoon through the camera doorbell installed on the outside of the home. Brianna, dolled up for the day, locks the family front door, strolls down the walkway, through the garden gate, and down the street to the bus stop. This would be the last time her mother would see her. Brianna can then be seen on CCTV, on the bus, then arriving at the bus stop, where she is then met by Scarlett and a boy she's never met before, Eddie Radcliffe. An hour later, a married couple, Andrew and Catherine, were walking their two dogs when they came across a strange sight. Two teens lie ahead in the walking trail, one bent down, almost all the way to the ground. At first, the couple believed they were witnessing a teen reaching down to maybe leash a dog, but as they approached, the teen rose up and the two teens began walking away from the area in a calm manner. The couple then realized there was a young girl laying in the trailway. They rush over to assist the girl and immediately call 999 when they spot the girl covered in blood. Although we don't have the 999 recording, we do have an article by BBC which documented what was heard later in court. Quote, "In the recording, the dog walker was heard to be breathing heavily and in clear distress. She told the operator somebody was very hurt after being attacked and that she had, quote, seen some of the attackers run away from the body, end quote. She said Brianna was, quote, bleeding heavily, end quote, and had, quote, blood on her legs and on her back, end quote. Quote, we thought it was a dummy at first. I don't want to touch her either. I don't know if she's alive. She was adding, quote, it's an absolute mess, end quote. She then told the operator her husband would wait with Brianna and she would go to the car park to direct the emergency services. The operator then asked the caller if she believed Brianna had been hit. She said, quote, I think she's been attacked. She may have been stabbed, end quote. She replied, quote, is she breathing, end quote, the operator asked. Quote, no, I don't think so, end quote, she replied. Quote, I can't see her face. It's covered in blood, end quote. She said Brianna was, quote, dressed like a teenager, end quote, before adding, quote, are they coming quickly? It's a nightmare, end quote. The operator then asked about Brianna's breathing and asked, quote, can you ask your husband to put pressure on the wound, end quote. Clearly distressed, the caller replied, quote, I don't think there's anything you can do for her. Brianna had been stabbed 28 times in the head, neck, and chest.
Oh my God.
She was pronounced dead at 4:02 p.m., end quote.
Jesus Christ.
Police were immediately suspicious of Scarlett, as Esther had been told by Brianna that she was to meet up with Scarlett in the area that Brianna was found. A trail of video footage found that Brianna had met up with Scarlett and another teen at a bus stop who was quickly identified as Eddie Radcliffe. By the next day, both Scarlett and Eddie were taken into custody. Like, literally the next day.
Dumbasses. Let me see your phones.
Yeah, right? A search warrant was issued for both of their homes, and here detectives found a mountain of evidence. Bloody clothing, a hunting knife, and Scarlett's journal logging information about her serial killer idols. One entry was particularly unnerving. Her own entry.
Uh-uh. No fucking thank you.
It read, Saturday, 11th of February, 2023. Victim, Brianna Jai. Plan. Meet Eddie at Wooden Post, 1 p.m. Walk down to library bus stop. Wait until Brianna gets off bus. Then the three of us walk to Linear Park. Go to the pipe/tunnel area. I say code word to Eddie. He stabs her in the back. I stab her in the stomach. Eddie drags body into the area. We both cover up area with logs, etc.
That didn't fucking work out.
She's a genius.
Yeah.
She's a genius.
Yeah.
Been texting about this for months.
Mastermind.
Puts it in her own little serial killer journal.
She clearly thought everything through.
Totally. By the 15th, just 4 days later, both Scarlett Jenkinson and Eddie Radcliffe were charged with first-degree murder of Brianna. Brianna had been lured into the woods after Scarlett told her that the three were going to meet up with a weed dealer. Brianna even texted another friend stating, quote, Scarlett is so weird. She's pretending she has a drug dealer, end quote.
Oh,
so, like, Brianna knew that Scarlett was, like, lying or covering something up while it was happening.
Oh my gosh.
Smart girl. After not only that, but it places her with Scarlett.
Yeah.
Moments before this were to happen.
Who knows? Maybe that's why she sent the text.
After walking away from the main area of the trails and realizing that they were alone, Eddie and Scarlett would simultaneously attack Brianna, Eddie stabbing her in the back while Scarlett stabbed from the front. In what was later described as a stabbing frenzy.
Oh my God.
Scarlett would callously text Eddie later that night that she found the stabbing to be arousing.
Fuck off, Carla Faye Tucker.
Right, I was just gonna say.
Oh God.
Pickaxe much?
That's so gross. Like, and then these two fuckers find each other.
Yeah.
And it's not like she's texting this to someone that's going to do the responsible thing and the moral thing and turn her in and mm-hmm. try to get help for her, you know? It's like, no, we'll just fucking agree on this disgusting plan.
Yeah. Ugh. Both Scarlett and Eddie blamed the other participant for encouraging them to commit the crime. Because, of course.
Of course they did.
Because they're fucking children. What can be said is that if neither of them had met, Brianna may still be alive. So either way, they're both responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Both would attend trial, although their names were to remain anonymous from the press as they were minors when the crime was committed.
Don't commit adult crime if you don't want your name out there.
If you can't do the adult time. That's what I thought you were going to say.
No.
Don't do the adult crime if you can't do the adult time. Ugh. The trial would last just 1 month, and deliberations lasted just 4 hours. Jenkinson and Radcliffe were found guilty of committing first-degree murder, Jenkinson being sentenced to life with parole after 22 years, and Radcliffe being sentenced to life with parole after 20 years. But again, they're like, that would be like, they're in their 30s.
Yeah. Great.
Can't wait. Neither defendant received any additional charges regarding their text messages discussing Brianna's transgenderness. The court ultimately decided that the murder was not a hate crime.
Mm.
Which I think is bullshit.
I disagree.
I mean, literally, they talk about it in such a disgusting and, like, careless, non-compassionate, just, I don't even know the words. Just, and it's just disgusting.
Yeah.
And the fact that they are just like, oh no, clearly it has nothing to do with her being trans. No, clearly it does.
It does.
Clearly it fucking does. Like, that just irks me. And for her to be like 16.
Mm-hmm.
Brianna was 16. She had her whole life to, like, understand who she is and, like, live her authentic self, like, as a young woman, and have the rest of her life to only be a, like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This on the eve of Pride Month, too. That's another reason why I tried to tackle this one. After the trial's conclusion, both of Brianna's killers were publicly named. Esther, Brianna's mother, said that the hardest thing for her and the rest of the family to come to terms with was, quote, finding out that one of the people who had been charged for her murder was someone we believed to be her friend. Someone that we trusted. Someone that I was so happy that she had. Fearing that my child had been so lonely, not knowing that this person had been planning to not only cause harm, but to take the life of my precious child, end quote. Heaps.
I know, I just got the heaps too.
Scarlett Jenkinson's family released a statement saying, quote, all of our thoughts are with Brianna and her family. The last 12 months have been beyond our worst nightmares as we've come to realize the brutal truth of Scarlett's actions. We agree with the jury's verdict, the judge's sentence, and the decision to name the culprits, end quote.
Hmm.
Like, they were like, nope, blast her. Blast her for what she did. Put her name out in the press.
I don't disagree with that, but I also want to know, like, the dynamic of the household, like, why she didn't get help. Was she just that good at hiding it, or was it, like, a just turn a blind eye kind of thing?
I don't know. Was it, like, oh, this is, like, an angsty teen? I mean, I don't know. Like, it's, you know, with the journals and stuff like that, like, what parent is going to go through every journal?
Right, and I'm not blaming them at all. I'm just saying, like, I just want to know, like, what, like, and that one, my point is that there's a reason we do this podcast, and one of the biggest reasons is to educate people on the signs so that you can get someone help before something like this happens.
Yeah.
So I guess where I'm coming from is, like, I wish that maybe the parents were more educated on the signs.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know what they knew or didn't know. I'm not blaming anybody besides mm-hmm. Scarlett.
And I think, like, part of it is because it is a UK case. Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, but especially as it pertains to minors, a lot of the trial I could not find. You know me, yeah. I'm a trial person. Like, I want to listen to the whole trial, know every detail, and maybe there were things that were revealed
right.
that were done or weren't done during the trial, and we just don't know.
That's true.
As far as parent participation. After the killers were convicted, Brianna's mother, Esther Jai, called for, quote, empathy and compassion, end quote, for their families as, quote, they too have lost a child, end quote, and, quote, must live the rest of their lives knowing what their child has done, end quote.
Yeah, I mean, that's difficult. in and of itself.
The head teacher, Miss Mills, from Birchwood, said in an interview by The Guardian, quote, "Hindsight is a wonderful thing. Obviously, if I can go back in time knowing what I know now, then I would not want Scarlett to come to our school at all. But unfortunately, there was absolutely no indication at all in any of her previous behaviors or behaviors when she was at this school that would indicate that she was capable of any way of what she did," end quote. Headteacher Mills says that although Scarlett's attendance was dropping, the girl always completed her tasks and was mostly quiet and reserved. Scarlett was notified just a few days before Brianna's murder that she would actually return to her old school in Culcheth. So this was because her attendance was so poor. So I don't know if that's also a mitigating factor. Mm-hmm. Like, was she like, now's my chance?
Or like, this is my last opportunity.
Or like, I don't want to go back there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jenkinson is being held at Adelbeck Secure Children's Home in Leeds, and Ratcliffe is being held at Barton Moss in Salford until their 18th birthdays, after which they could be spending time with some of Britain's more notorious killers, including infamous Joanna Dennehy and Rose West, of all people.
Yeah, we just tackled her.
There's also Hannah Bosner as well, who was charged in the stabbing of a 13-year-old as well. Mm. So they have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
For at least more than half of their sentence.
It's true.
So, well, that is the story of Scarlett Jenkinson and Homie Ratcliffe.
Homie Ratcliffe. Dang, yeah, that was wild. I haven't heard of that one. It's so recent, I'm surprised that it hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but... Definitely.
Oh, we said definitely at the same time.
Definitely
hearts go out to Brianna Jai's family.
Mm-hmm.
It is such a recent case that, not that you will ever stop mourning for Brianna, but it's so fresh.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And these cases are so hard to cover. And even though, like, I feel like sometimes it's almost a little bit easier to cover a case that happened a long time ago because mm-hmm. there's not that, like, attachment because it happened a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But when you tackle something that's this recent, it's, like, I feel like it hits kind of different.
Yeah.
Although all of the victims, of course, need to be remembered and they deserve that.
Yeah.
But yeah, dang.
Yeah, pretty intense. But
yeah.
This on the eve of Pride Month, so just remember.
The Eve.
Yeah, the Eve. So June is Pride Month, y'all. Show your love. Show your support.
Just be fucking nice.
Yeah.
Just mind your fucking business and be nice.
Be you. Unless you're a jerk, then be nice.
There you go. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. We will see you guys with another case next week. And look out for that Patreon case mm-hmm. that should be coming out tomorrow or the next day, I think.
Yeah.
After you're hearing this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Love you.
Love you. Bye. You're probably already aware that craft beers have exploded in popularity over the past decade, but what you might not know is that there are thousands of awesome craft beers being produced by these new microbreweries every day. With Craft Beer Club, each order will showcase two breweries from different regions in the U.S. and includes four beer styles with a brand new box with each shipment. You will also receive publications that detail the history about the featured breweries, tasting notes, pairing options, and maybe even a little trivia. Click on our link in the show notes and receive an exclusive offer today with Craft Beer Club.